I'm raw today. So I'm gonna talk about my feelings. I just need to acknowledge that inside of me is this little girl who is absolutely terrified. She's scared of being abandoned, she's scared of being rejected. And I need to acknowledge that, and I need to acknowledge her. I need to acknowledge how I feel. I spent so many years trying to medicate my feelings. I'll take you back a little bit to the beginning. When I don't know, when I was a young kid, I grew up in a home. I was very much alone. I don't have many memories of any adults being around. And the adults that were around, if I was to express any feelings or any fears, it was very much shut down. You know, don't be silly. Oh, stop it. Go away. Shut up. Oh, please. Oh, you know. So I kind of took that to mean that it's not okay to feel the way I feel, and it's not okay to be the way I am, that there's something wrong with me. And when I went to school, I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified. I was that girl with her back glued to the wall in the playground, looking at the other kids playing, and I don't know, they seemed to be okay. They were like forming friendships, forming groups, getting together, and I'm just stuck. Like, how do I do that? Absolutely terrified at that young age of maybe 5 years old, thinking, how do I do that? And I was bullied a lot throughout school, throughout my teenage years, into my early 20s, actually. And I think it's had quite an effect on me. And because I was bullied, I guess that belief system that I all was starting to form was just confounded. You know, there's something wrong with you. You are not right. You're not okay, and it's definitely not okay to be you. And I learned at a very young age how that I needed to change the way I felt. The way I felt inside was wrong. It was wrong. It was uncomfortable. You know, the first thing I picked up to change the way I feel was sleep, fantasy. You know, oh my God, I'd go in, I'd force myself to go to sleep, like reach that dreamlike state where I could just be someone else, be this young girl that was popular and had lots of friends, and she was pretty and people liked her, and I'd get so angry. You know, if my mum would come in the room and try and wake me up, I wanted to be asleep already at that young age. I just wanted, I couldn't exist in this reality called life. It was too painful for me, and I didn't get the manual, and I didn't have the support. You know, I wasn't able to talk about how I felt. So I learned to keep it all in and numb it. You know, I've even got a picture. I've got a photograph of me eating a fairy cake, and I posted it once on social media, and I went, "This is where it all began. You can see my face, the excitement, this cake, man, this cake. Oh, it's gonna give me that rush of sugar. It's gonna make me feel warm inside." You know, I was already finding ways and means way long before I picked up a drug. And I moved abroad when I was young, There's a lot of violence and alcoholism in my family. And I moved to my mum had to run away with me and take me away to get away from my dad. So we kind of went into hiding and we went to Spain when I was a young kid. And I was already struggling, trying to fit in at school. Every school I went to, there seemed to be this bully who'd take it upon himself, if anyone talks to Joe, like, I'll beat the shit out of you. So no one was allowed to be my friend. And then I go to Spain and it, I'm in Spanish schools. I don't speak the language and I'm different. I'm English. I have blonde hair, blue eyes, I stuck out. It's like you. It's just in me, I'm wrong. There's something wrong with me. I need to shut this down. And when I picked up alcohol, I think I was about 10, my first drug of choice, I was gone, I drank this 2-liter bottle of cider, smashed out into oblivion, puked up everywhere on this field of grass, and I felt awful, but I knew that I wanted to do that again. It changed, it shut that voice down. That fear in under my rib cage, that feeling, those butterflies that I was living with on a daily basis, it shut that down, it numbed it. I'm like, okay, this is good. This is good. I'm gonna keep doing this. So, I was stealing alcohol, putting it in 7-up bottles, taking it to school. I changed school all the time because every time I went to school, I didn't think it was okay to be me. So I had to change my identity so I would become the loud one or try and be the funny one or the naughty one or what is it? What do you guys want? What do I need to do for you to accept me? How do I feel part of? I was constantly looking for things outside of myself to fix what was wrong inside of me. And yeah, it got really painful. And the first time I did substances, at the age of 15, I remember this, my friend's brother saying, if you take these pills, they're going to make you feel really good. And I don't know about you, but I need to feel good. I want to feel good all the time. So he told me to take 5. I took 10, and that was it. I'd arrived. I remember just standing on the street, and I came up, and it was like, oh, exhale. It was gone. That feeling, that fear had gone. I'd found something. I'm in Spain. It's the early 90s. It's the rave scene, amazing. There's this music, there's this tribe of people. I've become part of something. I'm hitchhiking and I'm leaving on a Thursday and coming back Monday morning without any sleep, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm standing there on dance floors with thousands of people, and people are coming up to me, hugging me, telling me that they love me. They feel like they've known me their whole lives and that I'm, like we're going to be friends forever. And I believed it. I believed it. And I thought, this is it. This is what I've been searching for. This is my tribe. I just didn't fit in with those other people. I've landed now. And I remember making that conscious decision that I'm going to stay high, not get high. I'm going to stay high for the rest of my life because this is it for me. I have connection, I have purpose, I have love in my life. That's all I've ever wanted. But some of you do this, but it's not real. The drugs wear off, the people disappear. I don't want to see them anymore because I'm either embarrassed of what I've done or what they've done, or there's some weird vibe and there's this calm down and people are a bit paranoid and acting a bit strange and it's all weird and ooh, it's not sustainable. But I kept trying, I kept trying, I kept trying, I kept trying. I moved to London. I moved to London. I made myself homeless. I was street homeless. I got myself into so many situations, dangerous situations, putting myself at risk. And then I started with the relationships. I get into a relationship, I find a boyfriend, and that's it. This is going to fix me. And I did everything. I mean, I've taken you up to my 20s now. It's all there, from homelessness to hostels to getting a job to working in the city, blagging my way. I think as addicts, we're so, when we put our mind to something, nothing can fucking stop us, that's for sure. The determination to get what we want. Oof. I wanted that. What are all these investment bankers doing? I want to do that. I can do that. And I would blag my way, blag, blag, blag. And yeah, I got my life together as such, it seemed. I had a job in the city, and I'm working 9 to 5, and I got myself a flat. My flat kind of looks all right, so I'm okay. But when the clock came, I am on the phone to the running home, running, and I thought I was okay. I grew up in the 80s, just so all of that stuff. I knew what a drug addict was. I'm not a drug addict. Are you mad? Are you mad? No, I'm not an alcoholic. My family are alcoholics. I don't wake up in the morning. No, it's not me. Group stuff, help. Get lost, not for me. No, I'm okay. Yeah, I'm in my 30s now. I'm in my 30s. I'm still, nothing's working. I've got the job, the drugs aren't working. I'm not feeling that connection, that unity, that thing that I found when I was 15 on that beach. I'm still searching for it now in my 30s, but the party's over. Like I'm now in my studio flat. Like nothing's working. I'm going to be an actress. That's it. I'm going to be an actress because that will show them. That will show those people, all those people that bullied me, look at me, who I am now. They will see. And once I have that, then I'll be okay. But that didn't work for me. It didn't work for me. Nothing. All the things that I've tried to seek outside of myself, the jobs, the relationships, the drugs, the clothes, everything, nothing has fixed this hole inside of me. This little broken girl who is so terrified that if you see real her, you'll reject her. I was so broken. I told myself that I wanted to be a famous actress. So, this whole having a family and all of that shit, that wasn't for me. Getting a mortgage, I'll get that later in life. I'm going to be rich when I get my Oscar. And I met someone who's in this room today. Sorry. I met someone who's in this room today. And to be honest with you, I didn't like this person. I didn't like him. I thought they were really up themselves. I just didn't like the way they carried themselves. But I was so broken and I couldn't stop using. I thought that I should be able to control it. Society teaches us that if you should have willpower. If you have willpower, if you're a strong person, you can go and have two drinks and go home. That doesn't cut it. That doesn't work with this disease. And this person, I was sitting in my studio flat alone, broken, wanting to die, wanting to take my own life. And I remember, like, so I'm sorry, I'm going all over the place. I do that, get excited and passionate. I'm in my studio flat the night before, and the drugs have run out, and I put my head on the pillow, and I'm, hoping for that I've taken just enough to knock me out. You know, because I'm an upper and a downer person. I'm self-medicating, just trying to get it right. And my head hits the pillow, the drugs have run out, and it wasn't enough to knock me out. And this woke up. D-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d- 50 million voices in my head, and I'm just like, ah, and I just shot up on my bed and I screamed like this roar, and I said, please help me, please, I'll do anything, I can't live like this anymore. And eventually when I did pass out, the next day I woke up and I opened social media. We talk about anonymity, which is fantastic. And I don't believe that this person wasn't anonymous, but they wrote on their Facebook that they were 18 months free today. Now this person, as I said, I didn't like them. And I don't know what made me pick up the phone to this person who I didn't really have a relationship with, who I didn't really like, but they said they were 18 months free. So I called him, the person, so I'm trying to keep it anonymous here. And I said, what does that mean? Have you been in prison? And he said, yeah, kind of. He said, I'm an addict. And I said, I think I need to talk to you. And I told him what I was doing, and he told me his story, and it was the same. This guy, you're kidding me. He didn't seem like that. And he had 18 months freedom from that. And he directed me to the NA website, and I went to my first meeting, a women's meeting. And I walked in, I don't know what I heard, but what I know is that all the people speaking were talking all this insanity that goes on in my head, all these voices, they were speaking about their feelings. And instead of being dismissed and told, don't be so silly, go, people were nodding, yeah, me too. And I found my tribe. I found my tribe, and this time it was real. This time it was sustainable. This time I found a place where I don't feel like there's something wrong with me. Yes, I have the disease of addiction. Yes, I do. But do you know what that gives me as well? It gives me fucking purpose, man. It gives me 12 tools that allow me to be able to live life. You know, it gives me a chance to have relationships and friendships. And it terrifies me. I am so sensitive. I am so... Fuck. My expectations of others and how hurt I can get. And my picker, oh my God. I don't know who the right people are for me half the time, you know. I've been through it all in recovery. The disease of addiction for me is the voice in my head that tells me that I'm unlovable, I'm vile, I'm disgusting. If you see the real me, you'll reject me. That is the disease of addiction. That voice causes me so much pain that either without a program I'm backed into a corner where I'm forced to use, or I go and I want to kill myself. It's not a fucking joke. And I didn't come into recovery to just get clean. Like, there's so much more on offer. I can't be clean and crazy. I am a lot, but I don't need to be. Like, I've got a solution today. Now, in recovery, how long have I got left, by the way? Okay. In recovery, I have... It's so insidious, right? Thank you. I've worked through the 12 steps, thought I'd be fixed. Wasn't the case. And I have gone through all of it, you know, a relationship in early recovery that married. That's now I have a divorce. I've sought everything outside of myself to fix the hole inside. Because remember, I haven't got the drugs anymore. I've used it all. You know, sugar, clothes, the attention of a man, jobs, work. You know, got this high-powered job, this job title. Oh, look at me. But still, that core belief is still there. You know, that core belief, you know, it does say some of us might need some outside help. I was one of those people. And the thing that was always blocking me was this relationship with a higher power. I really struggled with the word God. Especially when it was called Him. I think I've got some trauma around men, perhaps. I didn't have experience. So if this power is more caring, more loving and greater than I am, I don't have experience. I didn't have experience of a man that was loving and caring in my life. It's not who I was drawn to. So I struggled with that. 2 years ago, I found myself on my knees in recovery. The job didn't fix it. The service in NA, my identity in NA, because I tried that too. It's amazing, like get service, get out of self, help the newcomer. But that became me, you know, who I am. I am Joe NA, I am Joe Boat Party, I'm Joe Nacho, I'm Joe Batman, you know. Oh my God, hiding behind the book, hiding behind the literature, quoting everything, telling you how to work your program, all these external things to just hide from me. And none of it worked. 2 years ago, on my knees, you know, my marriage ended, my sponsorship relationship ended, my family that I created in NA all disappeared, and I was left alone. And my biggest fear came true for me, in my mind, that these people saw me, the real me, and they rejected me, they abandoned me, and they told me I'm not good enough. And I was left here alone, sitting on my bed, wanting to die again. The problem isn't the drugs, because I've got to the same place clean. The problem is a belief system that doesn't fucking serve me. My problem is low self-worth. My problem is I don't know how to do life. I don't know how to do relationships. My problem is that I didn't have a God in my life. And I was forced in that moment with no one else around me to turn to a higher power that everyone's talking about. And I had to surrender and ask for help. And what I learned, oh my God, is that everything that happened, happened for me, not to me. All the people that were removed from my life were because I couldn't blossom with them in my life. I found a spiritual path. I found myself in the 11th step. I found that through the power to carry out God's will, which is to act, you know, these beautiful spiritual principles that we have in the program, the power only came to me through meditation. Without the quieting of my mind, without going inward, I didn't have it. It's given me so much freedom. Today I'm becoming the woman that I am. I am the woman I was always destined to be. I like who I am today. I opened my chair with saying, you know, I'm this frightened little girl who's afraid of rejection and abandonment. She hasn't gone anywhere. She's still there. But today I acknowledge her. I acknowledge those feelings inside of me, because if I don't, I'm going to fucking crash. I'm going to act out. I'm going to spend money I haven't got. I'm going to hurt people. I'm going to isolate until I'm forced to either use or kill. You know, I have to acknowledge my feelings today And they hurt sometimes. Today, I took myself, I switched off my laptop, switched off everything. I was like, what do you need today? I did some healing work, I did some meditation, I took myself to a forest, because when I go to a forest, I'm like a little girl. I'm like, oh my God, look at the trees, look at the sun. Thank you, I'll wrap it up now. And yeah, I'm able to do that today. I'm able to check in and take care of myself. Yeah, I'm really grateful to Renee. I'm really grateful to the person that picked up the phone that day and sent me here. And I'm really grateful that you're still here today. yeah, I'm just so grateful. I'm grateful that I have a chance, that I have hope today. Yeah, if you're new, just keep coming back. More will be revealed, and it's definitely rewarding, so thank you.